You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to help you plan that unbelievable travel experience. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Welcome, Giants fans. You are listening to the Valentine's Views podcast here on Big Blue View Radio, part of the SB Nation family of podcasts. I'm your host, Ed Valentine, lead blogger at BigBlueView.com, and we come to you on Thursday, December 27, a couple of days after Christmas. Hope you had a great holiday. And I hope that your entire holiday season continues to go well. We have a lot to discuss on today's podcast as your New York Giants enter the final week of their 2018 season. A little bit later, we'll be hearing from RJ Ochoa of SB Nation's Dallas Cowboys website, Blogging the Boys, as we preview Sunday's season finale against the division champion Cowboys. First, though, we have quite a few things to discuss as the Giants enter their final week of the season. Lots of things going on. Let's start with Odell Beckham and injury news. Beckham obviously hasn't played for the last 3 weeks due to his quad injury, has not practiced this week. As I record this show, it appears that the Giants have not yet put Beckham on injured reserve or have not yet admitted that Beckham will not play on Sunday, but it seems pretty apparent that the star wide receiver's season is over. And at this point, that's quite obviously the prudent, smart thing to do, is not risk Beckham in a game that has no real meaning in terms of the standings. Obviously, don't tell Pat Shurmur that the game has no meaning. There is meaning in the sense that the Giants are continuing to try to build. They're continuing to try to evaluate. They're continuing to try and bring a core of players together, you know, for the future. But in terms of this season, the game has no meaning. And the prudent thing to do is not expose Beckham or any injured player at this point, you know, to an unnecessary risk. Second thing to talk about is obviously the future of quarterback Eli Manning. We don't know at this point what the Giants' plan is going to be. We have spent a lot of time at Big Blue View discussing Manning, writing about what the future might be. We have a piece coming up later this week from quarterback guru Mark Schofield that should lay out his plan for how he would proceed if he were the Giants' general manager, in terms of what he would do, you know, to address the future at the quarterback position. We've said a number of times Manning has played much better in recent weeks. The Giants' offense has functioned better. There is no definitive decision from the Giants yet, but it appears more and more likely, or at least let's put it this way, that it appears more and more that there is a path for the Giants to continue with Manning as their quarterback next season, at least at the beginning of the year. How they address the future, whether they draft another quarterback, whether they look for a young veteran via trade, you know, to add to their quarterback room, you know, as a guy who could possibly take over for Manning down the line, we'll have to wait and see. But we should hear from all of the Giants decision makers after Sunday's game against the Cowboys. Usually we hear from the head coach. We hear from the general manager, and we hear from co-owner John Mara in the week following the season. I would expect that that would be the case again next week. I doubt that they'll give us, you know, every last detail of what their plan is, but perhaps when we hear from those gentlemen, we'll have a little bit better idea, you know, of how the Giants plan to proceed with the quarterback position and with many of the other offseason questions that they have. And that's the other thing to address. Pat Shurmur said the other day that he does have a blueprint in mind for what the offseason should look like. The Giants have a great many personnel questions. Pat Shurmur has said multiple times that he would like most of this roster that the Giants currently have to be back with the Giants next season. And that's understandable. The Giants did go through a massive roster transformation this season. You can't do that every single year. You just can't continue to churn, you know, 30, 35, 40 players every year. You have to have some continuity if you ever hope to build something. So hopefully the Giants will be able to do that in 2019. They obviously have lots of roster decisions to make beyond the quarterback position. What to do with Olivier Vernon, Janoris Jenkins, some of their other high-paid veterans. We'll spend a lot of time at Big Blue View throughout the offseason addressing those questions. Did a podcast here right before Christmas discussing potential keepers on the 2019 roster. Did a post on Big Blue View on that as well. So please, you know, remember to check those out as you're looking for things to keep you occupied here during the holiday season. Right now, what I would like to do is bring in RJ Ochoa of Blogging the Boys. What you'll hear next is an interview that RJ and I recorded regarding Sunday's game against the Cowboys. Okay, Giants fans, we're joined now by RJ Ochoa, producer of SB Nation's Dallas Cowboys website, Blogging the Boys, to talk a little bit about Sunday's relatively meaningless season finale at MetLife Stadium. RJ, how you doing today?
I'm doing well, Ed. I do want to correct you. SB Nation's NFC East champion Dallas Cowboys site, Blogging the Boys, just to be clear.
Yeah. Oh,
for the purposes of detail, you know what I mean?
You know, I was about to congratulate you, but we're gonna play it like that, huh?
Hey, I mean, you know, if we weren't playing it like that, we wouldn't be playing by the rules of Cowboys Giants, and you know, that's just kind of how we got to roll.
Well, all right, you know, so congratulations on your NFC title, which, you know, I really hate to admit, is the third Dallas NFC East title in 5 years.
That's correct. Yeah, Jason Garrett won his first in 2014. That was obviously the Romo year and the Dez Cotton year. And I think the most impressive part about that to me is the turnover that's happened within the Cowboys in that time span that you mentioned. I mean, they've changed quarterbacks. They've changed running backs. They've changed premier wide receivers. They've changed middle linebackers. They've changed their entire secondary. They've changed kickers. I mean, Dan Bailey was a god in Dallas, and the fact that, you know, they've undergone such a transformation and still pulled out 60% of division titles. I mean, it's not a Super Bowl, but it's still impressive to a small degree.
No, I mean, we won't, you know, I won't sit here and rub in the fact that, you know, beyond those NFC East titles that you haven't done much of anything with them at all.
That's true. But I will say in the previous two instances, the Cowboys were spelled from the playoffs by Aaron Rodgers. And thank God there is no Aaron Rodgers in this playoff field. So who knows? I mean, that's been their kryptonite and it's not there.
Well, there is that. You know, the one time the Giants made the playoffs, it was Aaron Rodgers and the Packers that bounced them out. So we have that in common.
Hey, you know, it's the small things that unite us. And you know what? That was the week before he took out the Cowboys. So back-to-back weeks, he broke our hearts.
So let's talk a little bit about this particular Cowboys team. When I think about Dallas in the last few years, I think about a team that more or less tried to use its offense to protect a defense that, to be honest, probably wasn't very good. Mm-hmm. But when I look at this Dallas team, This is different. This is a team with an offense that ranks in the bottom 25% in the league, probably, or bottom third of the league. But this is a team with a really young, really talented defense that you're winning with.
Yeah, I mean, it's it's interesting. A very sort of large flip of the script, as you mentioned. Because when I think of teams like this, I think of, maybe the 07 Giants, kind of come to mind. I think of the Jaguars last season. I think of the Vikings the year Adrian Peterson broke 2,000 yards. Those teams that can really run the ball and just play some stout defense and kind of hold on. And the Cowboys kind of just turned into that overnight almost. They have a lot of resources, obviously, invested on the defensive side of the ball. DeMarcus Lawrence has really blossomed into the war daddy that Jerry Jones really wanted, and obviously Leighton Vander Esch has been incredible throughout his rookie season. Byron Jones has been fantastic. It's his first season playing corner after Chris Richard came over from the Seattle Seahawks. But I think the story of sort of what made their defense great, and I'm choosing to focus on this side of the ball versus the seemingly regression that we've seen on offense, but this season has been the materialization of all the second round picks that the Cowboys have sort of bought lottery tickets with. They drafted Randy Gregory. That was a real big risk, and that's really paid off this season. Obviously, there's no question that they took a huge risk by drafting Jalen Smith, and that has really come to life this season. So all those lottery tickets the Cowboys are cashing in right now, and they've got a pretty solid defense that put together their signature win of the season when they beat the Saints a few weeks back. And so it's very exciting. There's no question about that.
It's an interesting blueprint, RJ, in the fact that the Giants also have that offense that's built, around Eli Manning in the sense that they want him to be efficient. They don't want him to have to throw 40 or 45 times a game. They want the offense to run through Saquon Barkley. And they're getting there with playing offense that way. But when you look at the sort of blueprint that Dallas has established, what the Giants don't have at this point is that defense that can really shut people down. And even in this day and age where everybody talks about Patrick Mahomes and offenses with the LA Rams running up and down the field, I think what Dallas is showing is that defense first sort of blueprint still works.
I think it certainly works. And that's why I do think of the Jaguars last season, because I think the necessary complement to that is the ability to run the ball, which is sort of defense on offense to a degree. Yeah, I think, the Giants are really interesting. I was really fascinated all season to watch Barkley because I feel like the Giants got to do what the Cowboys missed on. It was so exciting to consider what Zeke could have been next to Tony Romo. Obviously, we never got that chance because Romo got hurt. They never played a down together. And so it was kind of interesting to see, well, how's Barkley going to play next to Eli Manning? Well, he kind of turned things around overall offensively there. And, the Giants offense has certainly shown some signs of life lately. But obviously, things have gone one direction for your franchise. But it is, I guess the biggest sort of sign of optimism that the blueprint you mentioned can work is that game against the Saints. I mean, the Saints were one of the NFL's highest flying, fastest paced offenses, and their defense shut them down. And it makes you wonder if the Cowboys offense could just do something. I mean, just be functional, what their overall team could be. And hopefully they figure that out pretty soon.
When I look at this Dallas team, I need to ask you, Dallas was 3-5 at the bye, or at the mid part of the season. What for you has been the biggest change, the biggest turnaround in this team, from that 3-5 record?
I think honestly, and it sounds cliche, and that's kind of the Jason Garrett way, so I'm really bummed that that's the route I'm taking here, but I think they just stopped eliminating mistakes. I mean, there were winnable games, in those first five losses. I think everybody saw the Cowboys lose on Sunday Night Football in Houston. That was a really winnable game that they dropped the week after the Giants beat the Texans, actually. And so, they were mental errors. They were lackadaisical things. And the Cowboys, for whatever reason, under Jason Garrett, they perform pretty well historically when their backs are against the wall. And there's no question that their backs are against the wall. And they had a huge, you know, when I talked about it, we wrote about it and talked about it at Belong in the Boys, we called that five-game stretch a gauntlet. I mean, they had to go to Philadelphia and, you know, obviously take on the reigning world champs on Sunday Night Football. They had to go to Atlanta, where their season broke last season. They had to come back and host the Redskins, who were at the time on fire and nobody knew what would happen with Alex Smith. But, you know, host them on Thanksgiving. Then the Saints. I mean, you know, and then to top it all off, host the Eagles once again. And I thought at best they would win two games of that. And that was even before they started off 3-5, just looking at that stretch at the beginning of the season. But they found a way to really dial in and really just eliminate mistakes. You mentioned falling to 3-5. In that game that the Cowboys fell to 3-5, Dak threw that horrible interception early on when he was just so keyed in on Amari Cooper. And he held on. He completely and totally eliminated mistakes, didn't throw a single interception until the second Eagles game, that final game of that five-game stretch. And, you know, the Cowboys just were laser-focused, and sometimes that's enough. I mean, they barely did enough, don't get me wrong, in certain points of that stretch, but it was enough to put together five wins, which was ultimately enough to win the division.
So, final question for you. You guys have a game on Sunday in MetLife Stadium against the Giants. And obviously, you know, the way that I wrote it at Big Blue View this week was, you know, the Cowboys have bigger fish to fry. This game doesn't mean anything to Dallas in terms of the standings. It really doesn't mean anything to the Giants in terms of the standings. The Giants are going to finish where they're going to finish. I mean, the only thing that really matters is at this point is, you know, they've got five wins. Are they going to have six? Where are they going to end up in the draft order? What are we going to see from Dallas on Sunday? Are we going to see, you know, a glorified fourth preseason game where a lot of guys don't play? Are we going to see guys play a little bit and then sit down? You know, what might we see from Dallas this week?
Well, it's interesting. 4 years ago, the first of these three division titles, the Cowboys had a meaningless game in Washington to end the season. And Jason Garrett did play the Cowboys most of that game. In fact, they played about 3.5 quarters before he ultimately pulled them. They were playing in the wild card round that season. They did. That was the year they beat the Lions in the playoffs. And 2 years later, two seasons ago, the Cowboys had a meaningless game in Philadelphia in the final week of the regular season. And that game, they really took their foot off the gas. I think Dak Prescott played a series. Zeke didn't play at all. That was the final touchdown throw of Tony Romo's career that a lot of people have seen before. So this is kind of, you know, maybe more close to that 2014 version, obviously, with the fact that they're playing next week. I don't think that Zeke will play at all in this game. I think it'd be foolish. I know he's obviously in contention for the NFL's rushing title, but he does have a sizable lead. I don't think that Zach Martin will play. That much has all been confirmed by the Cowboys. I don't think Tyron Smith will play. And if you're not trotting out Zach Martin and you're not trotting out Tyron Smith, then it doesn't make a whole hell of a lot of sense to get Dak Prescott, you know, too much game action. So I think maybe Dak plays a quarter. I mean, maybe he plays two, three series. But overall, I would be shocked if he and Amari Cooper played. If we're, you know, halfway through the second quarter and they're still playing, I'd be a little stunned. I think the Cowboys realize that they have a big time game next week, probably against the Seahawks. And, you know, it'll be interesting. I will say, I know this isn't an answer to the question. I'm really excited for this game. And I say this with respect, because it might be Eli's last. I know you guys have a lot of questions over there, but Eli has meant a lot to me personally in my Cowboys fandom. I mean, I've spent a lot of nights of my life really upset because of losses that the Cowboys have had, and Eli's made it a race. And if this is the last go around the bend, then, you know, I tip my cap to Eli and everything that the Giants have had going on. It's been fun.
That's an interesting way to put it, because there's such a large segment of the Giants fan base that, to be honest, I mean, can't wait for the Giants to show Eli the door.
You know, it is interesting, and this is a little hot take-ish, and I'm careful, you know, in wording this with Cowboys fans, but I think Eli has suffered, you know, potentially what the fate of Romo could have been. You know, Romo has been made a bit of a martyr. I don't think there's any denying that with the way his career ended. I mean, he was a great quarterback, don't get me wrong, but I mean, the guy was sort of slayed in battle, if you get my drift. And whereas Eli has whimpered his way through the battle. And again, I say that out of respect. You know, Tony Romo had played pretty poorly in the four games that he did play in 2015. If he had not gotten hurt, I mean, there's a chance that, you know, he comes out in 2016 and he plays, you know, average or whatever. And, you know, this mystique that people have of him is damaged. Whereas the last sort of imprint that people have of Tony Romo is that 2014 season where Dez caught it. And that was perhaps his greatest season as the Cowboys quarterback. And so, you know, maybe Eli's held on too long and that's damaged his reputation. But I tell you what, I remember a lot of times in my day rooting for the Cowboys that that ended in sadness because of him. And, you know, he's made it fun. And if this is the end, it was a lot of fun. I mean, it didn't go great, but it was definitely fun.
Well, you know, the last thing I'll say about Eli Manning is the one thing that I always warn Giants fans about is, look, the last time the Giants tried to replace a franchise quarterback was when they let Phil Simms go in 1993. Mm-hmm. And it took until 2004 when Eli Manning showed up to actually get that done. Just because you use a first-round pick or just because you bring in a young guy, it doesn't always happen. And I'm not sure that Dallas fans consider Dak Prescott to be a franchise quarterback, but you've managed to win games with him. You've managed to do some good things. And you just don't automatically replace a guy who has done the kinds of things that, you know, that any franchise quarterback has done for his team.
I think that's well said. And I think that, you know, it's easy to be dissatisfied in the moment, but I think you're right. I think that Giants fans will certainly at some point long for Eli. You know, the future is scary. It's unknown. You never know what it's going to bring. You never know what it's going to yield. And I will say it's a really fascinating time in the NFC East. And I imagine that makes it concerning for Giants fans. But you look at it, I mean, what quarterback are you supremely confident in the division? And I say that mindful of who Carson Wentz is, but, you know, the Nick Foles thing, thank God we don't have to deal with these problems. But, you know, that situation is wild. I mean, so, you know, the time would seemingly be now, you know, if you could control it to find your guy, because, you know, Washington's going to be spinning in circles for a while. And, you know, Dak is, as you mentioned, certainly somebody that has his own question marks. It's an interesting time. It's very fascinating.
Oh, the NFC East is always fascinating, RJ. And hey, congratulations on another NFC East title. Thank you a whole lot for spending some time, you know, with me today talking about this game on Sunday that I know you don't care about. But all right, so we'll talk to you again soon, and good luck in the playoffs.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it. Cowboys Giants is always a lot of fun, and I hope next season both games have meaning, because it's a better life that way.
Yes, it is. All right, RJ, thank you very much. Okay, Giants fans, our thanks to RJ Ochoa of Blogging the Boys for discussing Sunday's upcoming season finale against the Dallas Cowboys. We thank you, as always, for listening. We hope that you have a happy and safe new year. As for me, I won't be back on the air here on Big Blue View Radio until after the new year. Please, though, remember to tune in and check out the draft-related podcast that Chris Flum and Dan Pizzuto will put together. That hits the airwaves each week on Friday. Check out Big Blue View Radio on all of your favorite podcast applications. Be sure to subscribe. Check out our website at bigblueview.com. Follow me on Twitter at @BigBlueView. Check out our Instagram page at big_blue_view.com. If you're a Facebook user, join our community on Facebook and you know, contribute to the discussion there. All right, Giants fans, thank you. Have a great new year. We'll talk to you again soon. Bye-bye.
Hello, I'm Spencer Hall from SB Nation, and I want to tell you about my new show, It Seems Smart. It Seems Smart is a show about people doing things that for some reason or another, seemed smart at the time. Those things might include doing a little cocaine and driving a bike up a mountain. Or, I don't know, maybe racing 100 miles per hour across the country in the middle of the night with no one's permission. Or even stealing a bat from an umpire's room in a Major League Baseball park. Check it out, and if you like it, tell a friend. I'm Spencer Hall. Don't do anything smart.